Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon.
It's what rugby league's all about. Go!
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Welcome back to it. Our number is 133353. A cracking big game on the Triple M network this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Cronulla versus Manly from Southern Cross Group Stadium here in Sydney. One of the great venues. Two of the great Sydney clubs go head-to-head, and they're both going very nicely, thank you very much, in 2017. So it should be a good game. Dan Ganane, your caller from 4 o'clock today. I'll be joined by the karaoke king of the coast, Billy Harrigan, and, of course, Ryan Girdler and Gordon Tallis as well. We do it always. As always, thanks to Bryden's lawyers, about to get kickoff Newcastle Dragons. Get score updates for you for that. But right now, it's time for this.
Absolute magic.
Break out your heritage jersey.
The ball's loose.
Crack open a can of Reshes.
Premiers in a convincing manner.
It's time for a Triple M NRL trip down memory lane.
Oh, yeah. Time for the Triple M NRL randomizer. It's already won a couple of radio awards and some club awards as well.
Congratulations.
No, I feel just absolutely, you know, it's like having a... It's like
mate, well, you work really hard.
I do. You know, it's a, one of those things, mate, where it's like watching one of your kids do well when the randomizer picks up another award.
So it's your favourite kid at the moment?
At the moment it is. It's the one that's costing me the least. So we pick a year, we look at the events that happened, we look at the rugby league things that happened in that year as well. But first of all, we've got Ryan Girdler. He's on the big bucks, so he pushes off the Triple M NRL randomizer. No, okay, the button's broken. I'll just
what
pick
are you doing, Gerds? Push it.
That, whack it now, good. No good. All right, well, why don't I just pick a year at random?
Well.
Hang on, I'll take it. I'll open the envelope. Hang on. There we go. We've always got the backup envelope there. Oh, 1993. 1993 is the year. The biggest invention of all our lifetimes, the World Wide Web, becomes available to the public for free on April 30, 1993. At the box office, top five movies, Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, Schindler's List, The Fugitive, and Indecent Proposal. And here are the top five songs from 1993. UB40, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Inner Circle, Sweat. Sonia Dada. You Don't Treat Me No Good No More. Whitney Houston.
Stop looking at me, Maroon.
There she is. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You.
Ditto.
And finally, Meatloaf. Meatloaf. I would do anything for love. But I won't do love. I won't do that, at least. He remains the greatest knob I've ever met in my life, that Meatloaf.
Is he really?
Oh, he is fair dinkum. Oh, he's torture.
I thought he was brilliant at the AFL Grand Final a couple of years.
Yeah, mate, he is fair dinkum torture.
Is he really? Why?
Oh, mate, he just talks about himself and he just gibbers away and goes off into these tangents.
Sounds like me.
Sounds like Gordon.
The only time I ever wished I was dead was when I was in the presence of Meatloaf. Well, that's what happened in 1993. The 10-metre rule is introduced into the NRL for the 1993 season. In State of Origin, the King, Wally Lewis, returns as Maroon's coach just 2 years after his retirement. New South Wales, coached by Gus Gould, win the series 2-1. Current coaches Laurie Daly and Kevvy Walters opposed each other at 5-8. Doesn't seem like that long ago. The 93 series is best known for the famous dust-up in Game 3 at Lang Park. A first-half brawl erupted when Benny Elias and Stevie Wallace clashed in a scrum while the Chief Paul Harrigan and Marty Bella stood trading blows. Have a listen to this.
There's a blue one. A blue one on the back side. So a big stink on over on the other side of the ground. Harrigan and Bella having a go at it. Standing there trading one. Go, boys. 4-1. Nothing wrong with that. Two big men having a go, buying off a bit of steam. Now there's a bit in the background. Wallace and Elias.
There's a couple of blokes don't like each other. Now they're into it. Wallace and Elias.
It's on now. It's on. Look at Bella. Look at the eyes of Bella. Oh, fired up. Big body. The chief says, if you want to go, I'll go with you.
Well, I respect Martin's courage, but he's picked the wrong man, hasn't he?
Oh, dear,
if you're going to have a choice there, he's the last man in line, Paul Harrigan.
Yeah, one of the great callers there too, the great Darryl Eastlake, who could cover off on a number of sports. He's great, great commentator. Aussies played New Zealand in a three-match Trans-Tasman series just after Origin. The first match was a 14-all draw at Mount Smart Stadium, with the Kangaroos winning the second test at Palmerston North 16-8 and wrapping up the series 2-0 with a 16-4 win at Lang Park. Here's some audio of that Trans-Tasman series.
Behind the line, Hubby gets a good bounce. What a great try.
This is the domain that normally belongs to Langer and Daly. Inside the 20. Now they go to their big back line. Meninga flying onto it. Inside, Fittler under the post. Brilliantly worked. Langer is extra wide. Great ball out from Steve Walters. Daly. Again, Meninga on the inside. He steps clear. Meninga brings the house down.
And another great caller there, Graham Hughes, back in 1993. 23rd of September, Juan Antonio Summeranch from the IOC makes the famous announcement all Sydney were hoping for.
And the winner is Sydney.
They're the words of IOC President Juan Antonio Summeranch earlier this morning, declaring Sydney as the city to host the Olympics for the year 2000.
Ah, what a great series that was too, the Olympics here in Sydney. Ricky Stewart from the Raiders won the Rothmans Medal and the Dally M and also named Rugby League Week's Player of the Year. Scooped the pool. 16 clubs contested the Premiership, with the top five being the Broncos, Manly, Canberra Dragons and the Doggies, minor premiers that year. Having beaten the Dragons in the 92 Grand Final, the Broncos became the last team to go back-to-back. So no team's gone back-to-back since 93. And the Broncos once again defeating the Dragons 14-6 in the decider. Some of the highlights from the 93 Grand Final.
Holders! Holders! 25!
Madison from dummy half, the runaround is on. He takes the inside pass, and Madison, Terry Madison, scores. Beautiful stuff. Long pass, it's gone out wide for Khan. There's the grand final. Khan gets the try, and the grand final is over. Brisbane retain their title. 14-6. John's got one of the tries.
Yeah, my best famous, I'm a massive fan of Rabs as a commentator, and it's either the 92 or 93 grand final.
Renoff.
Oh, here's Renoff. We haven't seen a lot of him today.
But now watch him go. Yeah. That was 92.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, wrong year, Marin.
I know. Well, right. I did say it was one or the other there, Paul. So yeah. I did cover my tracks
that
there.
That was the 93 grand final, was the famous St. George can't play year.
Yeah.
Alfie Langer. So it was?
Yeah, that was a... I think Ivan Henjak gave... Because he was at the Dragons in 92. He gave Wayne a...
They made it up.
Yeah.
They just wrote it up.
But then Wayne said that Ivan Henjak gave him the 92
tip
grand
sheet.
Final tip sheet. And it was like, you know, Kevvy Walters is a poor version of Alan Langer and all these guys. And Alan Cairns too small and all these things. And obviously just... Stuck it underneath their door on grand final day, and the rest is history.
This is, of course, back in 93 when you were driving the Datsun 180B to Cogra Jubilee Oval for training.
And then in 97 and 98,
the
boys still didn't know that it was a G-up.
Can I ask you, Gordon, when you used to perm your hair back then, what was going through your mind?
I used to go down, there was a little old lady down at Oakley that used to do it for me, so I used to go down there and get some blonde tips and, you know, get the odd perm because I watched the 1982 Kangaroo Tour.
Yeah.
Go over there, and because I didn't get a haircut, and Rod Reddy permed his hair on one of the tours, so I thought I'd follow his.
Was a good look?
Is it
true that you went into the Intersection Hotel at Ramsgate?
Yeah. Oh, with the dance floor that used to move?
And tried to get a couple of the boilers to call you the Perminator? Is there any truth to that story?
Well done.
Yeah. You played in the 93 grand final there. What was that like?
It was an unbelievable. Obviously, I was young. I was 20-odd, and to play in a grand final, and then... I just knew that I wasn't ready. So now that I've played in other ones, I actually, because when Tina Turner was out, I was so excited with the whole day. And I think I'd only played, you know, 20-odd first grade games. So I wasn't ready.
Was that your first year, 93 or 92?
I played one game in 92 against West, and then obviously, so then that's what they call your debut year, but I played one game first grade, and I played a bit the next year. I played a lot of reserve grade and a bit of first grade, and then obviously we played Brisbane, and they were out because we beat them in the last round, I think, up in Brisbane, and, like in front of a huge, huge crowd, and then I think they were the first side to come from fifth, Paul, that year, and then I think they were out on their feet, and they were just champions, and they rose, and we were a bit unlucky.
That was the year, 93 was the year Canberra were unstoppable all year until Ricky broke his leg.
Yes.
And didn't win a game after it. Mm. So they were...
Jason Stevens took on Glenn Lazarus in the grand final. And
was,
I think it was
it
the
was
first tackle.
Wow. Yeah,
broke and he his broke thumb. His thumb, and it was a compound fracture. It was sticking straight out of things. Oh. So that was a huge blow because Steve-O was in great form.
I actually interviewed Gordon in 93. He picked me up in his little car. We drove out to one of the...
Linda or Yasma?
Juvenile detention centres, yeah. Yeah, he told me a few secrets. Said, don't ever tell anyone this. In the drive. Was never it, have. Can't tell you now.
No?
No. Couldn't tell you now.
Was it the famous Datsun 180B, Paul?
I can't remember. It was a little car, though. I remember.
Yeah, a pair of us sitting in there.
Wasn't it a Mazda MX-5?
No. He wasn't travelling that flashback then. But we identified him earlier as someone who was on the rise. And I remember, I can't even remember. Do you remember it? We were driving. Yeah. I was doing a story on him. I rang him up. I said, can I do a story? He said, yeah, I've got to go to work that day. He was out around Lidcombe, the boys' home around there.
Yeah, there was boys' home.
And he said, I'll pick you up on the way over. So we just sat in the car. I was only, how old are you? You would have been 20 what?
Yeah, 19, 20. Well, I was 19 and I did, so 20 and 96.
I was 22, so I wasn't much older.
The Dragons are carving Newcastle up at Jubilee at the moment. 6-0.
10-0.
It's just about to be, 10-0 after Nightingale gets his second. The only concern so far for the Dragons is Paul Vaughan limped off after 3 minutes. It looks like a pretty serious injury.
Yeah, they said it's got an ingrown toe now. So he'll get that clipped and he'll come back on in the second half.
Beautiful try, that one too, to Nightingale. So
yeah,
Dragons
see,
10.
That try is the problem with the modern game. He's got an unmarked player inside him. Instead, he kicks to the winger outside. Mm. I find it unbelievable. Look at that. He's got Joel Thompson on inside him, and he kicks to the winger outside. It happened in Origin.
And that could have bounced anyway.
Exactly. I don't know why we always have to look this way, and the old simple catch and pass these days. In Origin, if you...
you're not a rugby league player if you can't do a no-look pass.
Yeah, but you look at... The other night, New South Wales led 16-6, and that's because when... it was a Maloney made the... no, it wasn't. Tedesco made the break through the middle.
Yep.
And he looked to his left and he found Hayne. Hayne found Morris. Morris scores in the corner. Mm-hmm. He had James Maloney inside him, unmarked, who would have scored under the post. Yep. Instead, they only looked one way.
No, it was Maloney that went through and had Hayne on the inside, wasn't it?
Hayne on the inside. It was too.
They like each other?
But one was a try. One was a try under the post. One was a try in the corner. And in the end, he missed the...
conversion.
He missed the conversion.
All right, guys, that, by the way, was Nightingale's 100th NRL try. So good on you, Jace Nightingale. He's a great young bloke. Dragons now lead the Newcastle Knights 10 points to nil, 9 gone. That score update is thanks to Tyre Power. You buy 4 selected Pirelli Cinturato tyres. You get a Caltex Star Cash card, valued at up to $100, and you walk away a happy man.
And to make my point, Maroon.
Yeah, he missed the goal.
He missed the goal. So they've scored in the corner when they could have scored on the post. It could be 12-0 now. This could be crucial. They're playing Newcastle after all.
This is a beautiful, this is a beautiful day in Sydney at the beautiful Cogra Jubilee Oval that overlooks Botany Bay, but not a massive crowd. But looks like St. George are going to get back on the winning list after today. We'll keep you posted with that score. All thanks to Tyre Power, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. And still to come, we'll take a look at the Rooster Storm game and have a look at the game today, which I reckon is going to be a cracker. Sharks and the Seagulls live as Triple M rocks the footy.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Put your clothes on, Gerd. It's not over yet.
With Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Dragons 10, Newcastle 0, with 14 gone at Cogra Jubilee Stadium here in Sydney. Now, the Melbourne Storm and the Roosters went head-to-head last night in Adelaide. 21,500 people. I want to talk more about the crowd with the guys. But let's first of all discuss the game where the Sharks, I beg your pardon, the Sharks, the Roosters got up and beat the Storm. A couple of times this weekend, firstly in the English Super League, one team, Salford, were leading 24-8.
Oh, Salford Reds.
And they got beat by St. Helens 25-24 in the last 7 minutes. So that was get out of jail. I believe the Swans got out of jail in the AFL. And then the Roosters last night, a miracle comeback to beat the Storm. And it says a lot for the quality of this Roosters side. But I guess for the Storm, they build up that buffer of a couple of points in the Origin season. They lose that game, Ryan, but they're still well and truly at the top of the table.
Well, I think it says more about the Storm because, yeah, as you said, they rested their big four players and they went down to Adelaide there and no one gave them too much of a chance. Obviously, Corden missing from the Roosters, but they blew the Roosters off the park for the first probably 50 or 60 minutes. I mean, they looked really sharp with the football, Melbourne. They were disciplined. Yeah, it's a Craig Bellamy coach side, obviously, so you know what you're going to get. But to be able to play that way with so many key players out, I think it says a lot about where Melbourne are this year and what they're going to be like when they get those players back, because the opportunity these young guys are getting at the moment, the experience that they're having, and all that's going to contribute to, if they're needed at the back end of the year when the finals come, they're just going to be able to fill in and do a job that, you know, is needed at a crucial stage of the season. So, look, the Roosters weren't great last night, but, you know, they scored 12 points in the last 8 minutes. And that was the key. And then, obviously, Mitchell with a really good field goal there in Golden Point. They weren't great, the Roosters. A little bit rusty. Had their moments. But the Storm were the dominant side in that game for basically about 68 minutes. And then the Roosters got their big boys back on.
When you say 68 minutes, yeah, the Roosters, I think they took off Napa and Hargreaves around the 30-odd yep. minutes, and they didn't come back on until about the 57th. But it's a great way about their interchange is they got to leave one of those guys on. Somehow, Trent Robinson has got to find a way to keep either Hargreaves or Napa. They actually can't go off the field together because when they come back on, they start to get points. Same the week before, I think Hargreaves went off and then he come back on and they started scoring points against the West Tigers and he made a break up the middle. He pushed off Elijah Taylor to set up a try. So, you know, and that's the thing, but it was a great comeback by the Roosters. I thought it was dead and buried, mate. When you play against the Storm, no matter who's in the jersey, they just give you nothing. Like, anytime you can go and get 2 points off the Storm, well, you're playing some half-decent football, no matter who's playing for you. But it was a great comeback from the Roosters. And, you know, when those two sides are fully fit at the end of the year, it's going to be mouthwatering.
Yeah. Just shows you can't clock off too, doesn't it? The amount of times you see teams now, they're against all rights. They go out and with 4 or 5 minutes to go, they score 2 tries, bang, bang, and never in the game. Suddenly, they're down 20-6.
Mm. And it's amazing, isn't it? The Roosters are Cordner, Hargreaves, Keary, Pearce. And, of course, they've got Ferguson and Napa and Michael Gordon, and they're bringing in James Tedesco. So what you can achieve if you manage the salary cap well.
The sombrero.
I think it's amazing.
Really?
Look at the hatred of South and
Louisiana. There's no
hatred.
Don't
bring it in here. Don't bring it in here.
No, I think it's brilliant that you can have all those players and still be under the salary cap.
Because people would rather play. If you're going to live on the eastern suburbs, you'd rather play for the Roosters than the Rabbitohs, so you'll go there for less money.
I don't know if that's true, mate. I don't know if that's true.
Well, that's the theory.
I don't think that's right.
Well, what's the alternative? Well, mate, clearly they're doing something like that.
Well, they're obviously doing something great. They're obviously just great with managing the salary cap and bring Tedesco on. And
what are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. I'm trying to say they're an ornament to the game that they can have Tedesco, Cordner, Hargreaves, Keary, Pearce, Blake Ferguson, Michael. They're going to keep Michael Gordon for another year.
Oh.
Dylan Napa. Did I say Dylan Napa?
Well, they've got some room in their cap. Of course they're going to keep Gordon.
Of course. Bloody oath. Just... Amazing.
They're probably looking for a couple of more players as well.
In off air, you call them the feather dusters. That's really going to knock you out. Feather dusters. Look at them out there.
And when Sonny Bill comes back, it's complete.
Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Bryce
Cooper
Lawyers.
Cronk.
Now, just on, let's hit some audio from Mitchell Pearce from that game, fellas, just if you want to comment any more about what Pearcey had to say.
Mitchell Pearce, congratulations. What a roller coaster week you've had. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it was, I felt special. How good's that? But, I'm just lucky it went over, but yeah, it's you know, we were pretty bad in patches tonight. We had a real lack of energy across the whole board, and it was a pretty poor performance from us for a lot of the game. But when it mattered most, that last 10 minutes, the boys found something, and how good,
Piercy, because you were down 20-6. You know, you said you had some flat periods.
The Melbourne Storm banged on three tries early in the second half to give themselves a big lead. You blokes had to dig deep to win that one.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, there was a real low in energy here at the Oval. We were trying to kick into gear, one of those games where you're trying to kick in and everyone's sort of a bit starry-eyed. But, like I said, that last 10 minutes when we had to put the foot down and come up with some clutch plays, you know, Lukey in the corner there, Mickey's goals, you know, a win's a win.
And Piercy, run us through the actual field goal, brother. You could not have been in a worse position to take a shot. And for a bloke who supposedly can't kick field goals, you're putting them over for fun these days.
18 misses, now 3 in a row. I'm claiming that.
That's all you need.
Nah, mate, Lukey sort of went to the right-hand side and had a sort of bit of a probe there and probably didn't get us in the best position, but, yeah. Mate, how good. the Lord was on my side.
And Piercy, Michael Gordon, some incredible kicking to keep you blokes in the game. Nailed everything from everywhere.
Mick Gordon's probably been one of our best players all year, and he's just always consistent. And those, you know, that goal at the end there was unbelievable. And you know, the three goals he had to kick were all from the sideline. It wasn't an easy comeback at all. And he'll be my player's player.
Mate, backing up from Origin, how's the body feel right now?
Yeah, got a bit of a sore throat and a little bit fatigued, but yeah, it was a bit of disappointment. You know, it was obviously a bit of a blown opportunity there the other night, but full credit to Queensland. But yeah, it hurt. It hurt big time. It hurt all the boys pretty bad, but there's another game to go.
Good on you. There he is, Mitchell Pearce on Fox League. So thanks to Fox for that audio there. Mitchell Pearce talking to the boys, and the Roosters getting out of jail with a good win over the Melbourne Storm. And they are now on 24 points, so just sitting right up there happily in second position at the moment. The Sydney Roosters behind the Melbourne Storm, and then the Broncos and the Sharks, and then Manly. But, of course, the Sharks take on Manly 4 o'clock this afternoon on Triple M. Right now, the Dragons still lead Newcastle, but the gap has narrowed 10-6.
The Ross Dog.
The Ross Dog went over, did he?
Ross Dog millionaire. They made a little break up the middle. He took off from dummy half and beat about three Dragons to dive over beside the post.
Now, we talked about it earlier, just to wrap up on that, though, guys. A good crowd, too. Good to see 21,500 people turn up at Adelaide last night to watch an NRL game, because we hear that, obviously, Adelaide is a traditional AFL town, but
absolutely,
they obviously love their rugby league. And
oh, well, it's good. Just another market. They get 20,000 in a market that we don't go to that often is... Shows that the product's pretty good.
Apparently, Kerry Walters can't walk the streets down there. He just gets mobbed from the old Rams fans down there. Yeah. So
was he their first captain? I think he was.
Michael Maguire too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Madge.
Played for Madge. Yep.
Kurt Ridley. South might take a game down there.
Was Maroon. Alan Cairns.
Built was Rod Reddy the coach? Or
yeah, he Rocket. Was. Yeah.
Dean Lance.
He's big down there as well.
Dean Lance might have been there too.
Yep.
Chris Quinn.
Oh, great day. One of the Iroh's.
Tony.
Tony was down there. We'll have to get the Adelaide Rams side up to have a look at it.
Yeah.
We went there once. With
Newcastle in again.
Newcastle Ross. In again, 10 all.
Mm.
Okay, 22 minutes gone in that game. We're just going upstairs. We'll get you a score up that on that one for Tyre Power very shortly. Sunday Triple M NRL, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler, Anthony Maroon. We might take a break, come back. Hang on a second. We've got a couple of technical difficulties. I'll come back to that. Well, I was going to tell you, Ryan.
What were you going to tell me, Maroon?
I went down to Adelaide. We had to go down there with the mighty I-98 FM call team.
Ah, did you take any pictures?
I did. I'll show them to you when
great.
We get
there. I can't wait to see them.
Myself, John Jansen, the late...
JJ.
The late Glenn Tobin.
Yep.
And we went down there and we called a game between the Adelaide Rams and the mighty Illawarra Steelers.
Oh, wow.
But it was in what? Wyala.
How did they play? Because one was Super League, the other was ARL.
No, because they come back
98 must have been when they came back.
98, okay. Yeah.
It's a merger.
Yeah.
How long did the Rams stay in for when it...
That was it.
I think that
was it just the 1 year? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Maroon, on with the story.
No, it was just good because these locals had never even seen a game of rugby league, let alone an NRL game. So it was quite an experience. The town put on a nice night for us and the mayor.
Have you got any photos, Maroon?
I'll get some photos.
Yeah, let's put them on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I've got some... can you wait till the ad break?
Yeah.
How were they at trivia?
Oh, they were pretty good at trivia too. Just getting a note here. We just got some technical difficulties. We're just feeling technical difficulties. Who will come into the Queensland side for Thurston and Boyd? Ryan Girdler, would you like to have your comment?
Is that a question you just came up with?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
It is, isn't it?
That's
while brilliant. You're doing that, I'll get the photos out. Photos of Wyala out.
You didn't seem like you read that off the screen at all. Look, I'm hearing at the moment that Cameron Munster is going to go into left centre for Boyd. You would have to think that the funny thing about the six jumper is that, you know, Kevy's been on record now and mentioned a couple of different guys. You would think that the Michael Morgan would be the guy with the most experience, given the nature of this third game being a decider up there. You'd go for someone with a little bit more experience. Milford might be available, but certainly wouldn't be match fit, so that kind of rules him out. Corey Norman starting to find his feet. I reckon he's probably the dark horse at the moment. If he puts a couple of really good games together, he might be really hard to ignore. Cherry Evans would have to be thereabouts as well, because there's something about the Queensland side that he doesn't seem to get mentioned a lot for some reason. It hasn't had a lot of success at Origin level, but in really good club form. So you would think it would come down basically to those guys. But yeah, the surprise, I guess, is Munster looks like will play left centre for the Maroons.
Munster was 18th man for Queensland, so he is right in the thinking. Is it worthwhile, Gerd, do you think, to even think about Munster as the sixth?
Yeah.
Because although it's on debut and it's a serious decider, if you put him at six, he's got the Melbourne halfback inside him, the Melbourne dummy half passing the ball, and he's got the Melbourne fullback. So he comes into a side where he's fairly familiar with the way everybody's playing.
The tough thing is, what do you do? Like, Gagai's probably been Queensland best player of the series. I thought he was great in game one. He was amazing in game two. Do you move him off the wing and put Oates back into that centre spot? Is that an option? Or has Corey Oates had his cards marked? Is he sort of gone
now as well? No, I don't think he's had his cards marked. So I think he played quite well in Origin 1. The problem he had was Queensland had to ask themselves, is Corey Oates better at centre? Better at winger with Darius a fullback, or we're better with Darius in the side and Billy in the side? And of course, we all know which way they went, and they're all hard to argue with.
But do you take Gagai out of a position where he's been one of their best in the first two games? You know, obviously at centre, won't get the same opportunity to run the football, and his yardage, Gordy, coming out of trouble, has been first class.
Yeah, Gagai's been absolutely outstanding. I don't know whether his role would change that much, whether he's in the centre or on the wing, and that's just... You know, obviously Kevy's got options, which is good. And, you know, don't count out Michael Morgan going there and, you know, maybe moving someone like a Corey Norman or a Munster to number 14 as well. And then, yeah, you got guys like Corey Oates that can come back in that actually had a really strong game last night as well and carts the ball well.
Do you think that Kevy would think about bringing someone like Sam Thaiday back into the side, like last game in Queensland?
Yeah, well, there's talk of it. Well, it all depends. Don't forget what there's 3 weeks.
No, you don't think
he will? No, I don't. I don't think Kevy's going to be dictated by that sort of stuff. Kevy just wants to pick the best players. And Thaiday, what I admire about the way Queensland have handled that is that the assumption is basically, look, he's done his time. He's served the jersey well, and he's now time to move on. And I think that's where they're at. I can't see Queensland going back to what didn't work in game one.
Yeah, and people got to realise, like, everybody that's played Origin is at a really high level. And Sam Thaiday and Nate Miles and all those guys, and look, they didn't get dropped. There's no way they got dropped. They did. They have played them. No, they didn't get dropped.
No, you're spinning it now. They got dropped. No, they if they'd won the game, they would have been there. No, you wouldn't have said if they won game one.
They've done a great job. They played 29 games.
They got dropped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, and
Gordon, if they'd won game one, no one would have said, listen, we've just looked at how many games you've played in your age, so you can't be there for game two. If they'd won game one, they'd still be there. The fact that they're not is that they got dropped.
Poor.
Spin it any way you like.
I'm going to spin it this way.
Yeah, okay. Can we get some little golf book music or something to play while he talks about this?
The boys have done, like, have given it such great service. Like, to play 29 Origin, that's like 10 years of State of Origin for, like, Sam Thaiday. So it's an unbelievable feat. So I don't look at him and going, oh, mate, well, you're not good enough to wear the jersey. And that's where you're thinking that he's dropped. I think he's done so much for that jersey, and it's time to ride off in the sunset. And
no,
you've
one,
had your time.
No one disputes that he's done serve the jersey.
Thank you, Paul.
Well
done. Played. Let's move on.
No, because you know you're wrong. Yeah. Look. Just admit, Gordon, just say it. Come on, be like Fonz. Say it. Yeah, there you go. Look, they got dropped, but yet there's no shame in being dropped.
I thought I was wrong once, Paul, but I made a mistake.
All right. Now, we've got the Knights in for another try here, fellas. So the Knights have taken the lead in this game. Knights 16, Dragons 10 for Tyre Power. Let's just have a look at this. Yeah, it's all okay. Barnett, he got a pass away And one of the big blokes, I don't know who he is. He's
all down
over.
This same corridor, yeah. too, down this left edge for the Dragons.
Yeah, the big back rower. He's going good, isn't he? The big number 12.
So five tries we've seen in 25 minutes of footy at Cogra Jubilee Oval. Just to finish off on Origin, guys, on NRL 360, DCE not being named as an option by Kevvy Walters. Do you want to read anything into that, boys? You want to say anything about that?
It's an interesting one. I've got no doubt that Cherry Evans is on the outer at Queensland, that there'll be three or four players picked ahead of him before they'd actually get to him. I rang Kevvy on Friday afternoon and I brought up with him. I said, look, I didn't want to embarrass you by putting you on the spot, but it was noted that you didn't say that. But Kevvy has in the past occasion when he goes through and he starts to name a few players, he mistakenly leaves names off. And I said, was it intentional or was it you just forgot him? And he said, no, I just forgot him. He said, I was just trying to go through because he did get down to it, Moses Mbai. Yeah. And most people would assume that Moses Mbai is behind Cherry Evans when it comes to origin selection. But he just said, look, I just forgot him. And that happens sometimes on the high pressure world of television that you thrive in, Gordon.
Absolutely, Peter.
No, sometimes you just forget things.
I've heard people come out
Gordon's
and say...
Gordon's been having needles.
I've done a couple of functions with ex-Origin players over the last few days. And
you've done a function with almost everyone, Murray.
I have.
Haven't you?
I've done one with
Who's been your favourite?
Oh, you know, I really like Blocker. Blocker's great. Okay. You're great too. Joey brought the house down with the Emus on Friday. They're all good, mate. As long as somebody's paying the bill, they're all good.
Who's okay. bad?
Oh, who's bad?
Meatloaf?
None of the NRL Meatloaf. Guys are bad. They're all pretty good.
You know, Meatloaf?
Oh, Meatloaf. He's a gibberer. He is. It's another one. Gene Simmons. He's another gibberer.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. I never really liked that Mo Matthews either, that cricketer. Worked here for a while. I got no time for that bloke. But apart from those three people, I'm pretty much okay with everyone.
Well.
Now, what I was going to say, though...
just remind me never to get on the wrong side of you.
No, you'll be fine, mate. You're in the good books. I was going to say that people are saying that... New South Wales are dead set favourites to win game three. How can we say that? I know there's no Thurston.
Easy. No Thurston. No Boyd.
But still, it's up. It's in Queensland.
Friday and Miles have gracefully been put out to pasture.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've
been
because
retired.
I tell you why, because the Queensland side probably looks more like the team from game one than it does from game two. And New South Wales will be smarting.
So you're happy to go with that?
New South Wales should be favourites. I think so, yes.
Ryan?
Yeah, look, I think New South Wales have been the better side in both games. I mean, you know, they've been behind. They've ended up behind on the scoreboard, and I think it's in their hands. And if they go up there and play, look, in these big games, you'd like to think, even though you don't want to admit it, game two, if you win the first game, there's a safety net there for you. There really is, and you always get a little bit more out of the side that's obviously doesn't have that safety net and is a little bit more desperate. And those little things, they mean a lot. And that might have been part of the reason Queensland hung in there so well last Wednesday. The fact if they both go up there and they both play their best, I believe that New South Wales will win. So therefore, I think that they should go into the game favourites and they should win the game.
I don't think Queensland has played anywhere near their potential yet. And I think that's a pleasing sign, being a Queenslander, that they're still in a series where they haven't played a good 80 minutes of football, and New South Wales have played two really good games of football. So they've got to have a bad 40 minutes or a bad game. And is that going to be in game three? And Paul spoke about the pressure from the scoreboard. It's a totally different game when the scoreboard and the time, you know, comes down to you, and the pressure that players are under. Well, the pressure that they're going to be under in game three is going to be enormous. And then I know the way the Queenslanders will handle it. I know the way Cameron, because they've done it for so long. I know the way Cooper, Cameron and those guys are going to handle the pressure.
I really liked before game two when Cameron was asked, who's the team under most pressure? And all the mind games that get played in Origin, he was quite upfront. He said, I think we are. We're behind 1-0 in the series. We need to win this game. He said, I think we're under most pressure. It's interesting that every time an Origin game rolls around, teams compete with each other to be the underdog. And I find it extraordinary why it's so uncomfortable.
All right.
It certainly means something to people. It certainly, you know, I think the fact that you're the better of the two teams, why not acknowledge that we are and accept that as a stimulus to actually go out and perform better. So we are the favourites. We should win this game and we're going to go out and show why.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Maroon. Newcastle 18, Dragons 10 with 9 to go till halftime. Newcastle 18, Dragons 10. Here goes the Ross Dog again. Now the Ross Dog has got no one in front of him. He's got 30 to run. And it looks like the Ross Dog will go over. I'll just stay with this and see if the referee awards the try, because Newcastle have come back from 10-0 down to lead this game 18-10 now. And the Ross Dog's just got over. And we're just waiting for the referee to arrive and see if he points to the spot or goes. Yeah. That's a try. So Newcastle 22, Dragons 10. That score update is thanks to Tyre Power. Sunday Triple M NRL thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. The shuttlecock at the moment. Gordon's just having a look at that. The Chinese are out there versing the Aussies. For Australia, I think it's Gina Baker, and for the Asian team, it's Carlyong Lim, and the Asians lead now 3-2. We'll come back with more right after this as Triple M rocks the footy. 1, 2, 3,
never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good! Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Listen to that crap.
I'm saying hallelujah.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
And as we return, thanks to Brydens, it looks like the Knights have gone over again. We're just waiting on a video referee decision, but at the moment they lead the game 22-10, and this looks like they might be... This is Brendan Elliott, the winger, has gone over in the corner. We're just waiting on a video referee decision, a bunker decision on that, but it looks to be okay. There was no forward pass, and here it comes now.
There was a forward pass, but they can't rule on that.
Well, there was a forward pass.
Oh, didn't you see the forward pass?
I didn't think that. I didn't see one. Anyway, it's a try. Yeah. Newcastle 26, Dragons 10 after the Dragons led 10-0, and it's not half time yet with 6 minutes to go in that game. Ryan Girdler, Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Maroon, your match of the day, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Sharks Manly, and Dan Ganane will call that one for you. Just before we go to Jared Daffy with today's odds, Paul Kent, Nathan Buckley, who is the coach of the Collingwood Magpies in the AFL, has had something to say about door stopping. First of all, could you explain to us what door stopping actually is and what your take is on all this?
Oh, look, door stopping is when journalists turn up at a venue, like doorstop traditionally, but it can be anywhere, like a car park or something like that, to interview, in this case, players about certain things that are going on. So it's not a scheduled press conference or anything like that that we see. So basically, it's journalists turning up uninvited to ask players, coaches, questions about what's going on at the club. And Buckley came out at the start of the week, started a big debate in the AFL. He came out at the beginning of the week and said he doesn't like it, he doesn't appreciate it, and he thinks the media should basically buzz off, which, look, I'm certainly in the other camp there, but I found it a bit rich, and it makes me wonder about people, what their actual understanding is of the modern world and the way the game goes these days. And I know there are a lot of people out there going to side with that because they're like, well, they're not particularly sympathetic to the media, but it's the way of the world. And as a coach, I think it's your job to get your head around it, stop whinging about it, and do it. Mm. Okay. So, yeah, look, the thing is, look, you don't doorstop if you don't have something to do. We don't, as media, turn up every day at West Tigers training or every day at Sydney Roosters training or wherever. You turn up when there's something happening at the club that's newsworthy. And the reason you then doorstop somebody is because they have not put something in place like an organised press conference where you can ask the questions about whatever that news topic is. So whether it's a player that's just been suspended or a player, whatever the issue is. And Buckley has this thing, he thinks that the media should basically butt out and stay away. Now, I'll say in the modern world where your game is funded to the tune of billions of dollars for media, I think you've got to service the media.
Mm. When are we going to get it as a game? When I think you've told me so many times is you could walk in and interview Michael Jordan before he goes and plays the seventh and final game of
because they're told to do it. He doesn't choose to do it, but he's told to do it. And they understand very quickly, the professional athletes in America, they get it. There's a player in the NRL who at the beginning of this year had a crack at a couple of us at Fox Sports and said, you know, the one thing I know is that you need me more than I need you. And look, I hate to burst his bubble, but no, we don't. Mm. And the very simple case is this: is if rugby league fell over tomorrow, never played, never was closed, they shut the doors, never opened it again, I would still have a job. I wouldn't do this job, but I'd still have a job at the newspaper. I'd still be working in the media. I'd just go and write about other sports, or I'd go and write. I've done police rounds and crime. I've done all that as well, so I could go. I'd still have a job. But if the media fell over and there was nobody to write or televise rugby league, it wouldn't die, but you would not have any full-time footballers. Mm. You would have men earning wages from basically fundraisers, and you would have to work during the week to support yourself. So they need each other, but and the media is an important part of that. And the sports that service the media the best are the sports that are the richest.
All right, guys, would you like to respond? As players who are probably off, maybe, Gordy, you've found yourself on the other end of that.
I haven't liked everything that's been written about me, but if you're going to read the papers when there's a good story about you, you've got to read the papers when there's a bad story about you. And I know now, as a player, I played for the Dragons, and you know our main guy was, I think, Brad Foster at the leader. So, like, that was our paper, so we had that, and it was very hard to get into the tally back then in the day. And then obviously when I went to Brisbane, it was a one-team town. And I remember when Wayne Bennett bagged the media, I actually thought it was my job to go and talk to him every day. And I was talking to Tony Durkin, and then I went and fronted him every day because I saw someone by the name of Lee Matthews who was coaching the Brisbane Lions that would go do the press conferences every day. And then, like, when people say that I dislike Wayne Bennett, it's got nothing to do with like. It's got to do with whatever is happening at the time. And then I think that, you know, when Darius Boyd, and then all the gripes I had, and there was one with Wayne Bennett when Darius Boyd made his debut match, I think it was at Brookvale Oval, he played brilliant, and Wayne didn't talk about him. And I think that's poor. And I think that if you weren't a wage out of the game, I think it's your responsibility to sit there and help promote it. When I go and I watch all the American sports, and every NRL player, right, has an American sporting team. And you know why they get it? Because they watch that guy on television, because he does all those shows, and everybody can go up there and they put a mic and they like him because of what they see on TV. And without that, these guys wouldn't know who they are. And then these guys are stopping themselves from having that, talking to a camera, whether it's a Channel 9, 7 or whoever it is, or Fox Sports, or even Triple M, or I don't care, whatever radio station, but they're stopping that young kid from saying, who was that guy, Dad? Who does he play for? What does he do?
I think it should come back to the clubs putting a little bit more emphasis on, you know.
No, the clubs won't do it. Training, it's got to be the game.
Training the players in how to deal with those situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're just life situations. And, you know, the more training they get to handle those, you know, whether they're uncomfortable situations or whether the clubs are concerned about what the player's going to say, well, they can take that into their own hands and really focus on giving these guys the life skill of communication, which is only going to benefit them when they go to corporate functions, dealing with sponsors, dealing with other parts of it. So I think it's just an attitude thing from the coaches, who probably would rather players didn't speak particularly about certain things, because it obviously reflects on the club. But I think from the club's perspective, they should invest in their players becoming, you know, just
comfortable.
Comfortable and more articulate about, you know, communication and also dealing with all parts of the media.
Unfortunately, though, look, clubs have got it backwards. So when they're out of the news cycle, so at the moment there's a little bit going on about the whole news cycle in rugby league at the moment's Origin, okay? So a lot of clubs are saying, you know, we're out of the news cycle, beautiful. Just keep us out. We don't want to be in the papers. They talk to their players. Let's just keep our heads down, stay out of the papers. That's when the clubs, when there's nothing happening around your club that's sinister, that's when the club should be saying, you know what, this is a really good opportunity to invite the media in and to say to the local media that covers the roundsman, say, look, come and talk to our guys, and have them there and get the players who don't normally speak to the media, when there's nothing contentious that they're going to be asked about, get them to feel comfortable so that they can talk to the media and have a good conversation and just get on. And so then when later in life, when something happens around the club, or when somebody gets them on the phone and asks them a few questions, they're not immediately nervous. They've got an understanding of the way it works because they've been through it in the good times. So that's what they should. Some of these clubs should be doing now. Come and talk to our guys. Come and do features on.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's positive PR.
And I'm not the perfect guy, but I would just tell if I was coaching a team, I'd say, listen, boys, when you go talk to the media, don't talk about your teammates, talk about yourself. So every question they ask, say, mate, you're interviewing me, you talk about me and talk about my form and all that, but don't talk about my teammates because I'm going to stay out of that, you know, whether they're signing or whatever. And then most journalists, Paul, if I said that to you, I said, mate, if you're going to interview me, don't ask me about Mitchell Pearce, or don't ask me about Cooper Cronk. I don't know what he's doing, but I'll talk to you about me. Is that fair game?
Yeah, and that gets acknowledged. I've seen all sorts, and the one thing, it's like people sit there and, oh, bloody media, you can't trust them. Well, there are some people that are trustworthy, It's like in all walks of life. It's like policemen. Some policemen are really good policemen and some are not so good, but you can't hate the lot of them based on one thing.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL, Kenty, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Maroon, our match of the day, 4 o'clock today. If you're going to have a little flutter on, a little bet, you do it with Ubet, and we've got Jared Daffy from Ubet on the phone. Hello, Daff.
Afternoon, guys.
Mate, first of all, Daff, the boys were talking earlier about Premiership favourites. What sort of price are we looking at there?
Well, the two teams that played last night in Adelaide both shortened up. I don't think Melbourne Storm lost too many friends. They're 350 into 325. The Roosters get the 2 points. They're 6 into 550. We've then got Brisbane at 7, Cronulla 750, Manly at 13, but a couple of those sides that lost, they've blown right out, and so they should. Canberra 11 to 17. Penrith have been 15 out to 17. The Cowboys won, but they're still at 17. And, of course, we've got St George Illawarra currently in action. They're $17, but it looks like they might be on the way to defeat, so their price will go out as well.
Okay, Daff.
Daff, I'm just interested. What was the price before this game? Because Newcastle now lead 28-10 at halftime.
They were $4.50, Kenty.
Oh, wow.
That's just opportunity gone.
Well, yeah, and there's been so many of them over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Well, we're seeing it probably more so in AFL, but a couple of upsets again yesterday. The money was completely wrong yesterday in two of those three games. And again, today we had that short price favourite. But it's a nightmare for tipsters and punters, I can tell you that.
The really good punters, though, Daff, would have waited till the Dragons got out to 10-0 and then got on live.
Well, yeah, they would have got a decent price then.
All right, Daff, what about this afternoon, mate? These two old Sydney rivals go head-to-head, Manly and the Sharks at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, they do. I thought punters would be all over the Sharks today, but it's gone the other way, Anthony. Manly have got a pretty good record against them of recent times. They were 240 this morning. They're into 225 now. The Sharks out to $1.67. That line has moved a couple of points. It's now 2.5 points in favour of the Sharks. And the game total, a bit of interest in this one, over 37.5. That's $1.90.
All right, mate. Thank you very much. Daff, will catch up with you next week on Sunday Triple M NRL.
See you, guys.
And, of course, if you're having a bet, you do it with Ubet. Why don't you take the opportunity now to download the app? And, of course, then you can bet wherever you go. But always gamble responsibly with Ubet. That's what you need to do. Gamble responsibly. Half time. Well, Kenny just touched on it. 28-10, Newcastle leading the Dragons. The Dragons led 10-0. What has gone wrong, Gordon? Tell us with the Dragons. I think that's, well, they haven't lost yet, but I think somebody said they've only won two of their last seven. And this
it was a simple game plan and it was effective for them. They were going through the middle. They were letting their big forwards run a bit of a right and they were playing off the back of it. Well, every club's jammed in on them and try to make them go around. And that's what they were trying to do last year. And it's easy because it's like a little bit of an illusion out there. It looks like there's more space, but it's easier to defend and you work really hard for each other. And the Dragons have just gone away, I think, from what worked for them right at the beginning of the year. And it was just good, hard, strong running, and they played off a few offloads, and they'd get down the other end, and Vaughan was running right, and they just let their forwards dominate.
I do not know, Maroon. I mean, we can sort of sit here and try and come up with reasons, but look, we obviously been watching this one out of the corner of our eye because we're really focused on the task at hand, but from what I gathered, like they started out like they've been playing, you know, early in the season. And then all of a sudden, the last 30 minutes of that half, Newcastle were just running through them at will.
Yeah.
It was just quite disturbing if you're a Dragons fan. I've got no idea how a side can go from where they were 5 or 6 weeks ago to a half like that against Newcastle, who basically are coming last in the competition or equal last with the Tigers.
First half hat-trick of tries there for the Ross Dog. The Newcastle Knights winger has got 3 first half tries. Newcastle leading the Dragons 28-10 at halftime. That score update is thanks to Tyre Power. Sunday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Ryan Girdler. 4 o'clock today is our match of the day. We'll come back and preview that game for Iveco Trucks as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.